put on your priestly garments tonight, because we are all priests before the Lord now. One of the things that we believe the Word of God teaches is the priesthood of the believer. And we have been made a kingdom of priests. And so now let's put on our priestly garments and let's go into the presence of the Lord. And as we do so, we enter into the gate, as we're thinking about the tabernacle. We are entering through the front gate, and we are coming first to the brazen altar, the brass altar, the altar of sacrifice. And there we have helped prepare and give an adequate blood sacrifice that would temporarily cover sin. Then, having participated in this substitution sacrifice, we go further into the courtyard of the tabernacle and we come to the laver, the brass laver. And there we cleanse again ourselves from defilement, perhaps blood on the hands from the sacrifice, perhaps some blood spattered on the feet, definitely dusty feet. And so the priest would take time to cleanse himself. And then he would, and I believe very quietly and reverently, recognizing his grave responsibilities of representing his whole nation before God, he would enter through the outer gate, the outer veil of the tabernacle, into a 30 by 15 foot room called the Holy Place. And in that holy place, there are three pieces of furniture. To your left, you would find the golden lampstand. To your right, you would find the table of showbread. And straight ahead, just before the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, you would see the altar of incense. So this priest would be given his responsibilities to go in and worship God and also represent the nation in their worship before God, in their approaching unto God. We have studied in past weeks the tremendous importance of the sacrifice. No other approach to God without sacrifice. And then the importance of being clean and pure. And then this service at the golden candlestick. One of the first things that the priest would do upon entering there would attend to the candlestick. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 25. Verse 25:31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Now, none of the other pieces that we have seen were made of gold. We will see some others that will be made of gold, but not pure gold. They will be made of wood covered with gold. This is really the only piece that's made of pure gold. And in a moment, I want someone to have your cell phone ready with a calculator ready. I want you to do a little math for me tonight. Then it says in verse 31, this solid gold of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same. This is one continuous beaten piece of silver. It's not of gold. It's not pieces put together. It's one piece that's been fashioned by pounding and beating and heating. And says, and six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candle out on the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out on the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower. So is the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All of it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lampstands, or the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. And so we've seen a description of this piece of furniture, and we've seen some descriptions of the patterns that were to be placed on this, of almonds and bowls and flowers, and we'll see, as we turn to another passage, we'll see some of the reasons for some of these things. But once he would enter in, the priest, that which would give him light, because remember, there are no windows in this holy place. There's no outside light that can enter in here. And so the only light that would be present would be from this candlestick. And it would be used to continue to do the rest of his work there as he had this light. Now, we just read that this was made out of a talent of pure gold. Does anyone have any footnotes anywhere that tell you anywhere how much a talent weighed? You have 75 pounds. Anybody else? 34 kilograms. 75 pounds. All right. In some of my reading, I read that it could be anywhere from 75 to 90 pounds. So there was could be as much as 90 pounds of gold. All of you economists out there, all of you very rich people, both of you, how much is gold selling for these days? Anybody have any idea? Pardon? 1,300? Actually, it's gone up a little. And I looked today, and the price of gold is over $1,500 an ounce right now. All right. So now, let's go. Does anybody have your calculator ready? Okay, well, two or three of you can test Jim on this. All right. If we say a talent is 75 pounds, how many ounces are in those 75 pounds? 16 times 75, right? Okay, 16 ounces in a pound. So someone do 75 times 16. Then, if it's $1,500 an ounce, multiply how many ounces you have by $1,500 and tell me what an approximate price of this solid gold lampstand would be worth today. Anybody have it? $1.8 million. Now, I figured it earlier today, and I went to a 90-pound talent, and if it was a 90-pound talent, it was $2.16 million. So anywhere from 1.8 to 2.6, or 2.1, excuse me, 1.6 million dollars. And this lampstand had a center stand and then three branches, a total of six branches and a center stand. And as we read, it was made of pure gold. Go with me to chapter 37 of Exodus. Exodus 37. And this time, go to verse 17. And he made the candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work made he the candlestick, his shaft, that's the center, his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers were of the same. And six branches going out of the sides thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, three branches of the candlestick out the other side thereof. Three bowls made after the fashion of almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower, and three bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were four bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same, all of it was one beaten work of pure gold. And he made his seven lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it and all the vessels thereof. Now, so seven lamps. In other words, on the top of each of these six branches and then on the top of the shaft, it's called here, the center of the thing, there would be one and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Total of seven lamps, which today, not exactly like this, but is a national symbol for the nation. It's called a menorah. All right? So what he's making here is a giant menorah. We do not have the dimensions of this. There's no mention of how tall it was or anything like that. But again, it shows the sufficiency of the light, these seven lamps. And as you know, we have been looking at how all of these passages relate and are pictures of and are types of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is so much here that is so rich about gold, we mentioned, gold is always a symbol of purity. And so this lamp was made of pure gold, speaking about the purity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:19, can anyone quote that for me? I'll help you a little bit. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish. And so we see that this golden lampstand is a picture of the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was hammered out, beaten out of pure gold. And again, symbolic perhaps of the harshness and the cruel and bitter treatment that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered at his crucifixion. He endured more than any man had ever endured. This spotless, perfect, sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, endured this pain. Isaiah 53 says, "We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted yet." And so we see the beating that Christ received, this harsh treatment. The fact that there's no size nor weight, again, speaks about the fathomless beauty of Christ. There's no limits to his greatness. He is the creator of all things, and by him all things consist, according to Colossians 1. He is of limitless value. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. Paul summed up this wonderful greatness of Jesus Christ in Colossians 2:9 when he said, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Oh, the perfections of Christ. Oh, the worth of Christ. Oh, the value of Christ. And then think on this, and ye are complete in him. Colossians 2:10 says. So we see this lampstand picturing the purity and the richness and the fullness and the glory and the greatness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The lampstand had a purpose. And all of us sitting here tonight are saying, well, of course it has a purpose. What does a lampstand do? It gives light. Well, again, this is a wonderful, wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We just sang on purpose just before the message, the light of the world is Jesus. And this wonderful picture, John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And as the light of life, it's only through that light that he can ever give us life. This light, again, is also symbolic of Christ's purity and his holiness. 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Won't you be glad when we get to heaven and you can see that light for yourself? Because John tells us in the Revelation, in Revelation 21:23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it, and the Lamb is the light of it." The Lamb. And so we see that once we get to heaven, that Jesus Christ, just as was pictured of his the lampstand in the tabernacle, a picture of him, so the reality of Christ as the light will be in heaven. And so we have a wonderful picture here of Jesus Christ. But I also believe that we see some pictures of you and I, Christians. This golden lampstand typified Christ. But also it talks about our fellowship with Christ. And so we see in this a picture of our relationship with Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And so it's God's design that we as Christians walk in the light, and Christ is that light. We've mentioned in some of our other studies together when we were doing the meandering through John, one of the things we discovered there was that we are the lights now reflecting that light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to not ever hide that light under a bushel, but we are to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let's turn to Matthew. Keep your fingers here in Exodus. Turn over to Matthew again for a moment. The words to that song that I just referred to, "Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine," come from Matthew chapter 5. And the verses here in verses 14, 15, and 16 of Matthew 5 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we too are to reflect and let that light shine through us, that others can see Christ and glorify our Father in heaven. Again, go to Revelation 3. And here are some words to the Christians at the church at Laodicea. In Revelation 3 and verse 18, we have the church at Laodicea being spoken of in verse 14. But in verse 18, there's some counsel that they are being given here. And the counsel is this: I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. This gold trying in the fire, again, speaks of purity, speaks of this pure faith that has been won for us through Christ. And we should desire that above all else, the purity of Christ in our lives, and his purity thus making us pure. And in 1 Peter, our faith is spoken of in chapter 1, verse 7, as being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And so this gold, again, is a picture for us of all that we possess in Christ, the riches that we have in Christ, the faith that is more precious than gold. Now, we are also warned in Scripture, back in Revelation chapter 2, when it's giving a picture of us being lampstands, because look at chapter 2, verse 1, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So we have seven candlesticks, which I believe represent the seven churches here in Revelation. And notice verse 5, the warning. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will what? Remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And so because we today are those lights that God wants us to shine into the world, and we have a responsibility, just like the churches here had a responsibility to be candles and lights, we too have that, and we need to let our light shine. And if we do not, then perhaps the Lord will call us home if we're not allowing our lights to shine as he designed. But I want to give one last type here. Not only do I believe that the lampstand in the tabernacle was a type of Christ and a type of the believer, but also a type of the Holy Spirit. This oil lampstand was a wonderful type of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I know it's difficult to imagine without pictures, but there were cups. It mentioned it as we were reading back in Exodus about building the candlestick. There were cups, and there were bowls, they were called at times, and there were lamps. And from the reading that I have been doing much, I have about 8 books on this topic, and I've been doing a lot of research, and it appears that it was set up so that the bowls would feed the oil into the lamps. And so when the priest would come to do his work, one of the first things he would do would fill the bowls so that they would run the oil down to the lamp. Because the lamps didn't go out, they were continuous, and so they would light, and it would, and then he would trim the wicks so that any ashes would be removed, so that the light would do what? Shine brighter. And what wonderful pictures. We are to shine brightly as the Holy Spirit is that oil that comes into our lives and helps us shine for God's glory. Since we're back in Revelation already, let's go to chapter 4. And look at verse 5. It says, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps." Wow, we've been reading a lot about lamps, haven't we? And seven lamps. There's seven lamps in the tabernacle. Here are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the... Now, don't get confused here. The seven spirits of God. Oh, wow. We just got confused. I thought there was one spirit. And now we have seven spirits of God. No, this is a reference to the sevenfold perfection of the Holy Spirit of God, his sevenfold perfection. But we see this one who was the Spirit of God burning before the throne of God. And so we can see a wonderful picture of that back in the tabernacle. And they represent this sevenfold perfection and fullness of the Spirit's ministry. And let's go back about this sevenfold ministry of the Spirit of God, and let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Here I believe we have a reference to this sevenfold perfection of ministry of the Spirit of God. In verses 1 and 2, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." All right, so we've got the Spirit resting upon him, and now we have a description of that Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom, count these with me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's two, wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. That's two more. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. How many did we have all together? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let me make sure I have them all there. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear. And the Spirit of the Lord, the first part of the verse, the Spirit of the Lord, and then the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of fear of the Lord. So there's sevenfold description of the Spirit there. And certainly it is the Spirit of God resting upon Christ, filling him with wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear. But this also is a ministry that the Spirit of God wants to have in our lives, to fill us with wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear. One last reference as we close out this portion of the study tonight. Let's go to John 16. John 16. Verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And so here we have another threefold ministry of the Spirit of God as he would enlighten us. This Spirit of God is one that executes this purpose, this threefold purpose here on earth of convincing the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He convicts the world of the sin of unbelief. He makes known the righteousness of God to the world, and he convinces the unsaved world of God's judgment. So he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. The light of the Holy Spirit of God indwells the temple yet today. Us. Just as the Spirit in type filled the tabernacle with the light, so the Spirit indwells us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? Now, we mentioned earlier that part of the duties of the responsibility of and responsibilities of the priest was to clean the lampstand, to trim the lampstand. That's why the tongs and the snuff dishes, putting the ashes and so forth in there. And then, if we read, he would take those things outside the camp to dispose of them. And so a picture of the fact that we too, as lights, as lamps, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, need to be clean so that we can be used of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and letting our lights shine for him. There's a song, I don't believe it's in our songbook, but it's about brightly shining, and it says, be a light for Jesus. Brightly shine each day, radiate the Savior in the home at play. Others soon will see it as you onward go. Keep on burning brightly with a steady glow. Never let it flicker, never let it dim. Trim your lamp for Jesus, let it shine for him. Shine on through the darkness, precious in God's sight, are his own dear children walking in the light. Our lampstand, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the lampstand indwelling us. Christians, the lampstands letting our light shine before the lost world. Are you clean? Are you a clean lampstand? Are you a bright light for God tonight? Never let it flicker, never let it dim. Let it shine for him. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful tonight for this piece of furniture that has so much symbolism and so much type involved with it. We're thankful that it's even a picture of what we ought to be, and to help us to be filled with the Spirit of God who represents the oil, and help us to be clean and pure tonight. Thank you for that light of the world, Jesus. Thank you that there was a day that light shined into our hearts and showed us that we were sinners, and that light shined into our hearts and showed us a need of a Savior, and that light shined into our hearts and showed us that Jesus Christ was that Savior. Father, we pray that in these dark days we will let our light shine for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.